Jen and Anthony. It's good to hear how the Lord works in individuals. And it's always good to share with one another the highs and the lows. And that's why we covet these times of prayer and times of sharing. It really does build up the church, and it builds up the individuals who share. So thank you so much. And Anthony, you went 6 minutes and 35 seconds. I told you no more than 5 minutes. Let me read Acts chapter 8. It's a lengthy scripture. If you have your Bibles, it's not on the screen. You can turn with me to Acts chapter 8, starting verse 25. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, somewhere along the line, someone preached Jesus to Jen and to Anthony, and it was more than one person. And I bet you, in both cases, often it wasn't just done in words. It was done with actions. Because we preach the gospel, certainly with our words as we explain the scriptures, but we preach the gospel with how we live our lives. And that matters because people, like a Jen or an Anthony, are watching our actions. And if we proclaim Jesus with our mouths and read it from scripture, but yet our lives don't match what we're saying, then that's not much of a witness to folks like Jen and Anthony. Yet, praise God, Anthony and Jen had people in their lives and around them, and maybe just for moments had touch points with them who were able to proclaim Jesus with their mouth and with their lives to the point that it moved them to make that decision to follow Jesus, which brings them here today. Let's continue with verse 36. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and so the eunuch said, "Look, water! What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. This morning we have two candidates for baptism. They are not getting baptized because they believe it's their ticket to heaven. They're not getting baptized because their parents or their loved ones told them they had to. Okay, maybe Braley did, but that's not the main reason Anthony's doing this. And they're not getting baptized because they want forgiveness for their sins. Both of them at some point in their lives made a decision to not only believe in Jesus, but to follow Jesus. They are already assured of a place in heaven. They know they will be with Jesus when their time on earth is done. They have the assurance of salvation based solely upon their confession of faith that they've believed in their hearts and They've confessed it with their mouths. So you both are saved. You know that. Both of them know that they have access to the gift of forgiveness because Jesus freely forgives those who confess their sins and then repent. They understand that they are sinners, saved by grace, and nothing they do, no matter how great it may be in the world's eyes, there's nothing they can do to pay for their own sins. They are trusting in Jesus alone, knowing He was the final sin sacrifice needed, knowing that He paid their sin debt that was owed to God. Both of them are wanting to get baptized because they know and they understand that for a Christian, for a follower of Jesus, getting baptized is a command of God. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ." See, baptism isn't an option for believers. I think that's why Braley was so hard against you, Anthony, while you had your first fight. I'm surprised it wasn't about your taking so long getting ready. That was your first fight, but this is okay. This is a better one. I can't make it any clearer because Scripture makes it very clear. The formula, if you will, is believe, repent, get baptized. That's the order. Baptism doesn't make you a believer. Baptism does not give you forgiveness from your sins. Baptism is you following through on a command from God. It's a sign of your obedience. Acts 2:41, those who accepted the message were baptized. So if you're a believer in Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, no matter your age, baptism ought to be your response to God's love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Acts 16 says this, the Lord opened up Lydia's heart to respond to the gospel message, and when she and the members of her household were baptized, she then invited us into her home. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Jen shared her testimony, and she has come to that place in her life where she feels ready to be vulnerable. What a wonderful statement, Jen. Oh, how we need to learn from her that we need to be vulnerable with one another because we are a family of God. And thanks be to Jesus that she feels comfortable to be vulnerable here. Praise God for that. And so now she wants to be baptized. Baptism is a symbol. It's not a ritual. Baptism symbolizes the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You see, like communion we're taking next week, we're going to take the cup, we're going to take the bread, and without the aspect of faith tied to it, we're just eating a loaf, a piece of bread, and drinking some juice from a cup. The same way it's for baptism. Without faith, baptism is just taking a cold bath outside. And that water is cold, guys. The water is cold. And that's where the faith comes in, because with faith, it turns both communion and baptism into a symbol that represents the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's an outward sign of an inward conversion. Baptism is Anthony and Jen standing in front of all of us and proclaiming out loud what Christ has already done inside of them. It's their expression of their love for God. I tell this story in the baptismal class. My wife, Sherry, is my second wife. My first wife passed away at an early age, early in our marriage. And so I've been pastoring for years. I have two little children, and God intersects my path with Sherry's and Sherry's path with mine. And we start doing the official courtship. We didn't date, we courted. We were adults. We didn't have time for dating. We're gonna either do this or we're not, kind of a thing. And she loved me and I loved her, and I know that, and she knew that. And so she would always hold my hand as a symbol of her expression of her love for me. But whenever we got around people, she dropped it. Now, she had a good reason. She had a good reason because we hadn't told anybody yet that we were going to court. So once We just want to keep it on the down low because we want to see what God was going to do with this. Once we knew what God was going to do with this, that we were going to get married, we went and we told the church. We told the pastors, my team, we told the church and her family, and everybody was excited. It was all good. It was all good. And then I'd hold her hand. And as soon as we got in public with other people, then she dropped my hand again. Whoa! Hey, time out here. What's going on? Like, why aren't you holding my hand? And I, in my head, I'm thinking, is it because you're embarrassed of me? I know, it's hard to believe that anybody would be embarrassed of me. But and so I asked her, I said, in a loving way, I said, Sherry, you hold my hand in private, but you don't hold it in public. And she explained to me how uncomfortable it was knowing that I was a pastor, that I had been her pastor, and that we were in a very spiritual setting. And so she just found it awkward to do that. And I completely understood. But then I said to her, I said, this is how it makes me feel. It makes me feel that you don't want to show people how much you love me. And she understood and she got it. And now I can't ever get her hand off my hand. She holds it so much. And in some ways, I tell that story because I think that's how it is with God in us, is when we don't get baptized, we're keeping our love of God quietly to ourselves because we're too embarrassed or it's too uncomfortable to share with the world, to share with our family and peers how we truly feel about God and how God truly feels with us. We're not really holding his hand in public. And that's what baptism is. It's Anthony and it's Jen standing up saying, I'm holding your hand in public, God, because I love you and I'm not ashamed to tell the world. So God bless you too as we do this in a few moments. My desire is for each of you here today, each one of you that's here today, that you would believe in Jesus, that you would choose to be more than just a fan of Jesus, but that you would seek to be a follower of Jesus, that you would seek to repent from your sins, that you would walk in forgiveness daily, and that you would want to obey your God, the one who saved you from eternal death and who has given you eternal life, and that upon confession of your faith, that you would want to be baptized if you haven't done so already. It will be your public declaration of your love for God. And no one should be allowed to stand in your way. Not a church, not a family, definitely not a pastor. Again, Acts 10, verses 47 to 48. Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing should hold this back from baptizing men and women who believe in Jesus and want to obey their Lord. So to the two candidates, to Jen and to Anthony, thank you for your desire to not only be obedient to your God, but also to have the courage and conviction to stand up in front of your family, your friends, and your peers, and to announce your public display of affection to him, your Savior, your Lord and God. I, along with this congregation, are proud and excited for you. So God bless you. And let me pray over you. Father God, I pray for Jen, for the life that you have given her. If it's anything like my life, it's been full of valleys and mountaintop experiences and maybe just a lot of flat plains. And along the way, you have been reaching out to her, intersecting her life with other men and women of faith to challenge her, to encourage her, maybe to rebuke her at some points, I don't know, to bring her all to this point here today where she is ready and willing to obey your command of being baptized. God bless Jen. And I thank you for Anthony, Lord. I pray the same prayer upon him, Lord, that he would continue to go forth from here after his baptism, to live proudly as a believer, to continue to confess Jesus with his mouth and to live it throughout his life. For both Jen and Anthony, Lord, that you would continue to let them be lights in their world of somewhat darkness, of people filled, of employment filled with people who don't actively have an active faith with you, that they would be a light that would attract them to you. And Lord, for us as a church who stand beside them today, cheering them on as they go through with this public display of affection for you, God, as they proclaim that they are with you, God, both in your death and your resurrection, that we would continue to pray for them and keep them accountable, for that is the job you have given us as a church to do. And we do so proudly, but we do so knowing how serious of a role that is. And so we say thank you, God. In your Son's precious name, I do declare, amen. We're going to close.